What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes is here. It's Rob. It's Jeff. We're going to talk about some wrestling. We're going to talk about some off-screen media news with some wrestling promotions. We're going to debate who is the number two promotion. Has it possibly changed? We're not going to debate it that hard, though. We're going to talk about the women's tag team division being the main event of WWE. We're going to talk about Bron Breakker, and we have a top five list to get to. But Jeff, we're going to go ahead and start with TNA Wrestling. Have we ever started in the last 10 years of doing this show week after week, nonstop together as a unit? Have we ever opened up this show with TNA? But we're going to do it tonight because TNA, Jeff Hawkins, has a new media partner going into 2026. It is going to be AMC. And I want to know, Jeff, what was your reaction? And does this change any potential viewing habits for you?
First of all, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
There. Yes.
Thank you very much.
I was on vacation as well. So it was one of those days where I came back. It's like, oh, I missed Rob's birthday. I feel so bad now. That's guilt. Guilt.
No, it's one of the things about having a Thanksgiving week birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, in a few years, it'll be on Thanksgiving Day. It happens every once in a while. It's like, it's about the holiday. I can relate to the people who have like December 24th through 26th birthdays or January 1st birthdays or all these big holiday birthdays. It's like, yeah, if you have your significant other say something, it's a miracle. Anyone else, it's just not going to happen.
My first thought was, man, it's a shame they're getting this deal after all the cool programming on AMC has already left for the most part.
And even those longtime partners of AMC that you would thought would be there forever, like Vince Gilligan, is on to different venues now.
Yeah, like
what is the big AMC show?
Do they have any Walking Dead spinoffs?
They're still Walking Dead. There's got to be a Walking Dead or two that are still going. I don't know how popular they are anymore. But yeah, I don't know what the big AMC show is these days.
I think it's going to be one of these things where AMC once again has to reinvent itself, and it'll be part of that. We'll see if it goes or not. But I mean, I've been wrong about AMC for 20 years now, thinking like, or even 30 years, once they lost movies, that they'd be done for. But they started, you know, they started doing original programming, and then it wasn't that good. And then they got Breaking Bad, and it was good. And then they got The Walking Dead. And
I feel like Walking Dead was first, right? Like, I feel like Walking Dead started.
I think so. I think you're probably right on that.
Yeah. Walking Dead was the big thing that got into AMC. And then Breaking Bad started kind of slow because I didn't even get into it until the fourth season, like pretty late. It was a popular show, but I don't know how much ratings it did, like how many viewers it had right away.
It probably didn't do huge ratings, but it's one of those things. But for TNA, this is an upgrade. So
for sure.
Good for them.
For sure. It's a huge upgrade from probably their last several media partners. I want to go through the list. Not yet. I'm going to let you finish your point, but I want to go through the history of TNA Impact on TV.
Yeah. I just, the thing that I noticed was, man, everybody loves it. You know what? Rising tide raises all boats until somebody that might challenge AEW. I don't think they're going to challenge AEW. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that, but they exist and they are being propped up in some ways by WWE to be another company I guess the partnership's on. That was a bone of contention for exactly like 6 hours, but nobody who's an AEW fan is happy about this for some reason. I'm just like, let the guys work. It's fine. Yeah. It's like, oh, enjoy having a number three promotion on your television, AMC. It's like,
yes, enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, enjoy it. Please get some ratings from the channel because nobody's watching anything on that. Anyway, like Hell on Wheels from 12 years ago or something.
There's an Interview with a Vampire TV show that's on AMC. The Walking Dead, Dead City. Yeah, there's an Interview with the Vampire.
Okay.
The Immortal Saga Returns is the call there. The Walking Dead, Dead City. The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. So there's a couple of Walking Deads.
Walking Dead, still walking.
There's a lot of Walking Dead things. If you go onto the AMC website and TV shows, there's a lot of Walking Dead stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what else is new. Yeah. Walking right now, it kind of feels like this is kind of all they have.
Still walking. They're all walking.
One of their featured shows right now. I mean, second on the list because they. If I go back to the start here, when you go to the featured shows, that's taking too long. Their website's not super great to use. Featured shows: Best Christmas Ever, which I think is just a highlight of Christmas movies. Because now AMC is one of the Christmas movie channels. So pretty much all December. Oh, yeah. If you want to watch a Christmas movie, you're going to get a Christmas movie like every day on AMC. And then TNA Impact, Thursday Night Impact. They're promoting it. So when we ask, what is the top show on AMC? It might be Impact at this point. It might be TNA Impact. They are going to start on AMC on January 15th with a show out of Garland, Texas. Multi-year, a lot of people out there reporting 30 million. I think John Albo was the first with a lot of this on the TNA TV deal. So yeah, $30 million. I mean, that's a lot more than they were getting. They were getting basically zero because their ownership group was the owner of the TV channel they were on.
Right.
So they were not getting much of anything at all. But before I'm going to ask you about the WWE partnership, where you see that possibly going as TNA goes on to AMC, or if it doesn't go at all, we'll get into that. But this is the TNA Impact TV history, Jeff.
Go ahead.
Going back to 2004, the show is going to be almost 26 years old. Going back to 2004, they started on Fox Sports Net. This was the 10-minute time limit and judges era when they were a sports show. It was on at like 4 p.m. in the afternoon on Fox Sports Net. Based on whether there was baseball or local sports, it might shuffle.
And they also had the pay-per-view weekly during this time,
They had the pay-per-view weekly, but of course, we're just talking about Impact at this point. Right?
Gotcha.
We're just talking about the TV TNA Impact TV history, because that you go to pay-per-views and everything else, there's a lot more to go into. TNA Impact has enough on its plate.
Before I go, how
many media partners do you think they've had? How many channels has TNA Impact been on in the last 22 years?
Probably had six.
All right. I'm going to tell you right now, it's over 10.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Name them because I remember most of them.
So Fox Sports Net was the first one. There was a brief time there where Fox Sports Net, they were leaving Fox Sports Net to go on to Spike TV. But in between for a few months, TNAWrestling.com and Sun Sports out of Florida.
Okay.
Is what they were on. This was like a few months before they started on Spike TV. And then Spike TV in 2005 2005, the start of 2006, Spike TV. And then, of course, Spike TV, that was their longest partner. Then they went to Destination America. If you're watching on the YouTube channel right now, I have five fingers up. That's five. And I haven't even counted some of the like really small scale. I counted Sun Sports out of Florida, but there's been some small scale like internet partners that they've had in between here. Did I already do Destination America? I did.
You
right?
just did. Right.
Okay. Pop TV came after Destination America. They were not on Destination very long. I think it was a year. So in 2016, they start on Pop TV. They go on Pop TV for a few years. 2019, they start on the Fight Network. The Fight Network was their media partner for a very brief amount of time.
Okay, and did I miss the TV Guide channel at some point?
I don't know if they were ever on TV Guide channel fully.
Okay.
I don't have that on my list, but it's possible they were one of the offshoots that I didn't really mention.
All right.
Okay. After Fight Network, it was Access TV. And then now we come to 10. With AMC. So they've had 10 media partners plus some offshoots. So over 10 in total for just TNA Impact. Just okay. Impact. We're not talking about Explosion. We're not talking about the PLEs, the pay-per-views. We are just talking about Impact. This will be their 10 plus media partner in AMC. Does this change anything for you? And where do you think the WWE partnership might come into head with this?
No, changes very little for me because I haven't watched it in ages, to be honest with you.
At least it'll be available now. Like, I don't have Access TV on YouTube.
Yeah, no, that's
TV,
true, too. So, yeah, Access I have, but you know, I never watched it. But I watched Ring of Honor when it was on Access back in the day, too. So, but as for the WWE partnership, I find it interesting insofar as it's useful now, especially for women's wrestling.
Okay.
Because for NXT, it's useful to me. I think having some of the NXT kids go over there and wrestle, and even some of the ex-TNA talent that they poach to bring over to NXT due to the name recognition, I think it's a good thing. I don't see it as a huge benefit for TNA, though. That's the weird thing. I see it as a plus for WWE so they don't have to cut people. That's the odd thing about this.
They get a place to have some exposure, even TV exposure for some of the folks that aren't on NXT weekly. But at the same time, now you can say that, yes, some of the TNA talent have gotten bigger exposure and bigger name brands, but then WWE just signs them in the case of like someone like Joe Hendry.
Jordan Grace. Yeah. They don't do anything with them, which is phenomenally funny to me.
Right. So there's a lot of reason why WWE, and then of course, if you're TNA, maybe there's a money component that no one's reported on, but
it gives them payroll. That's all they need, really.
Giving them a little bit of talent infusion, and just the fact that they're working with WWE is valuable in itself. Like being on the good side of WWE, probably help them out with this TV negotiation. Not that WWE helped him out specifically or directly, but the fact that they're working with WWE is probably an eye opener to some executives out there. So I think it's been pretty beneficial to them. There's been some conflicting reports. The reason why I ask you, like, where do you see this WWE partnership going with TNA? Is there's been a lot of conflicting, like, because of this contract, is there a 90-day out clause where WWE can get out and stop working with them? Could WWE get out probably anytime? I'm sure they could.
Yes.
Do they want to right now? Probably not. So it'll keep going as long as WWE wants it to keep going. Like TNA is not going to get in the endeavor of be like, okay, WWE, we've used you enough as we can use you. Goodbye. Like WWE will keep it going as long as they want.
Oddly enough, the interesting thing are the conspiracy theorists about how, you know, how would a Paramount deal and WWE's thing with TNA affect the way that they could somehow force AEW off of television and stuff like that. Just like, you guys are getting way too complex here.
Well, and way ahead of yourself, because we're not quite there yet. Warner Brothers Discovery is putting itself up for sale. They're putting half of itself up for sale. They're putting the entirety of the company up for sale. We'll see where it lands. There's been a mostly, actually, I think it was an all cash offer. from Skydance for all of Paramount at some point. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, the landscape continues to be ever changing. I mean, Warner Brothers Discovery didn't exist a few years ago, and now here it is, the conglomerate that might be up for sale. So there's a lot of back end media stuff, but we got something tangible right now. TNA Wrestling will start on AMC in just over a month, in the middle of January. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm excited to at least have the option on Thursdays to check into it, because I did not have access. I was not paying monthly for TNA content. So
they got some good talent there too.
Like, they got a ton of good talent on there.
Great. I mean,
they got a ton of good talent, and I've been a Mike Santana guy for a while. Now I know there's some weirdness going on with him over the last couple of months, but we'll see what happens with Mike Santana. I thought he was a guy that could have, you know, become that single star in AEW, the likes of a Hangman Page, the likes of a Swerve Strickland, could have been one of their go-to top singles guys at some point. And we'll see what happens with Mike Santana and TNA and a potential continuation of the NXT partnership. Let's go ahead and get to WWE Raw, some of the big notes from WWE TV this week. Jeff Hawkins, I want to talk about a tweet you sent out.
Oh God. Okay.
While Raw was going on, and we'll talk about this segment. We'll talk about one of the very few follow-ups out of Survivor Series, all coming together with the Vision, with Bron Breakker. You sent out this tweet: Bron would be a top three AEW talker behind Mark Briscoe and Samoa Joe if Bron Breakker were in AEW. So let's talk about the promo from Monday, why you were so motivated to send out that tweet. Bron Breakker versus CM Punk is going to happen in January on Netflix for the title. But what are your thoughts on the follow-up out of Survivor Series here with Bron Breakker and that segment that motivated you to tweet?
Longtime listeners of Shake Them Ropes know that I did a little bit of acting teaching back in the day, and I've done a lot of promo deconstruction over the years here with Rob, without Rob, doesn't matter.
I've always been here.
Yeah. Bron Breakker started his promo, "I'm upset." Which I'm like, yes, that's what I want. I want you to feel, have an emotion and then explore it and heighten it.
I'm mad. Let me tell you why. And let me get more mad as I'm reliving why I'm so mad.
It is the simplest thing in the world. And it was personal, and it built the fight, and it was awesome. Now I've now had an argument, and I've kind of changed a bit on whether or not the fourth wall breaking about the, "Hey, when I saw you backstage at WrestleMania, you said, let's see if we cut a promo, kid." But it was still personal, and it still made it that. But man, this made me excited to see this match, because if you watch that Survivor Series match, Braun almost broke his neck. He's angry.
Early on, too. Like, early on.
And it's like, you know what? I'm going to take everything from you. I'm going to kick your ass. And I'm like, that's all I want. All I want in a promo for wrestling, for the most part, is to hear, "I hate you and I want to beat you up." It doesn't matter how you say it. Yeah. It just matters that you have some emotion behind it, and I believe you, as opposed to like the WWE exposition. "Last week at WrestleMania, I did the—" Shut up. Tell me how you feel and tell me what you're going to do. That's all I want out of it. And I loved it. I love this promo.
Yeah. And of course, it was set up by Paul Heyman and Bron Breakker being backstage. Like, let's go talk about how my guy pinned your world champion and what will come of it. Right. So they explain, something's going to come of it. And then they come out on TV to tell us what's going to come of it and why it should matter. And I think people were excited about Bron Breakker and CM Punk more than they were before that promo happened. So, Bron Breakker. Superstar moment. I'm not upset about the fourth wall breaking, because remember, at that time there was no Vision yet.
Right.
Bron Breakker wasn't really anti CM Punk at the time. They could have been backstage just chitter chattering what was going on at WrestleMania before CM Punk had Paul Heyman turn on him, and then the Vision was born. But it's like, hey, hang with us, kid. Are you gonna hang with us? You've been I'm the main event of WrestleMania. You've been on the come up. Are you gonna be able to hang with me? And now a year later, we're gonna be able to see if he can hang with him in multiple facets.
And he cut it directly into the camera, which is also something that I really want.
into multiple cameras. The camera kept shifting on him.
Yeah.
The camera kept shifting on him and he had to find it.
He was finding his light. He was finding the light on the camera and he got there. Yeah.
But he got there. He got there and it was a great moment. It was actually something. I mean, Logan Paul was back there being like, oh, I didn't know Bron Breakker could do this.
Yeah.
I didn't know Bron Breakker could. The mic. I mean, we have another mic moment in WWE where the microphone just smoothly transitions from one person to another. We've been seeing the Brock Lesnar throwing the mic to Roman Reigns forever. And now we're going to be seeing the Bron Breakker to Logan Paul mic drop. It was a great TV moment. It set up some future of the TV. This was an A-plus win. Now tell me why Bron Breakker to you is so much better than everyone in AEW because of that one segment.
Because nobody could cut a promo in AEW worth a damn. And it drives me nuts. Everything's based on good wrestling as opposed to building a feud.
Right. It's not always the talent's fault. Most of the time, it's not the talent's fault. It's not like everyone's getting promo time. It's just Kazuchika Okada is going into match three straight weeks, just out of blue. Kyle Fletcher used to get some mic time, but doesn't really get much anymore. Whenever he's in a segment with talking, it's Don Callis talking.
No, but look at the big promo yesterday that got all the kudos, and I'm like, no, this wasn't that good even. And I like both those guys in promos, but Samoa Joe did the basic CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Eddie, you're an underachiever, and he didn't really sink his teeth into it. It was just the basics. And then Eddie half-assed, I need to cut this promo and take a nap, and he does this is something that Shake Them Ropes has been hammering for ages. There is one babyface promo in AEW, and it's the I want the real you and not this guy here. It's like every heel is a fraud in AEW, and it's like, oh, we need to cool down the hatred for a fight because this isn't the real heel. No, instead it's I want the real you and let's have a good match and steal the show. And you're just like, oh, it takes me so out of AEW promos.
AEW is about the wrestling until Swerve Strickland is burning houses down or Hangman Page is burning houses down and they're about to steal kids out of the baby crib.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it goes from 0 to 60 like
it
that.
It was so disappointing because, like, I do love the Samoa Joe in a suit looking like $1 million promo. Those are always money to me. And I was like, bet you wonder why I'm not out here in a suit. I was like, okay, cool. Joe's going to be able to sink his teeth into this. And then he doesn't sink his teeth into it. It was just like, hey, let's do a quick promo to remind you we're fighting at Winter is Coming and let's get to the matches because TK has a bunch of them. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. I noticed you didn't put Hook on your best talker top three either.
No,
I don't know. I didn't. Maybe Eddie Kingston fell down and now Hook is in the top three.
Hook improved last week or yesterday. And I thought Adam Page had a really good promo because he started angry. And that's always a note that I tell for him is once he gets going, when he has that emotion by him, he's great. It's just getting there is the problem half the time with him.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
All right. Well, this motivated me, Jeff Hawkins, to create a top five list of AEW promos. These are the best talkers in AEW. The top five AEW promos, if we include Bron Breakker.
Okay, let's go with
that. Well, let's see if he's in that top three with a Mark Briscoe or Samoa Joe. I got some honorable mentions to make sure that people aren't thinking I forgot somebody. I got some honorable mentions. I'm going to put Pac as an honorable mention for the best talkers in AEW, especially lately. Pac has been really killing it, and he's about to be the leader of the former Blackpool Combat Club, the Death Rider. He's about to be the leader because this week on AEW TV, Jon Moxley was defeated by Claude. He's going to get beat by all of them. He's going to get beat by every single member. Somehow Daniel Garcia is going to beat him. Somehow Yuta is going to beat him at some point in some type of match. But he is going to be the new leader, Pac is, of the Death Riders. So we'll give a chance to have some even more mic time. I'm really liking Pac so far since his return, which is the usual case before he breaks an ankle. So let's see how far he goes. Tony Storm is an honorable mention. Tony Storm, fun. Every time she's on TV and she's got a microphone in her hand, I want to watch it. But is it going to sell me on anything she does wrestling? No. At this point, it's not. But I like her with a microphone in her hand. I don't know if this person's actually in AEW anymore, so she's on honorable mention to me. Britt Baker. Britt Baker. I like her. I like her talking. I would like to see her on TV at some point in the future, or at least know what's about to happen. I put Jon Moxley on my list. When I debated this, I actually thought about putting him in the top five, but he's just not that guy on the mic over the last year that he was the previous couple of years. I have Mark Briscoe and I have Eddie Kingston, because a lot of times they can get really real. And then a lot of times you're just wondering, like, what is the point of this with both of them? And you had a little bit of that on Dynamite. So let's get into the top five promos in AEW. If we include Bron Breakker, number five.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask you, are you including managers in this?
I'm including everyone in AEW.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Everyone. Okay. That could include the announcer. Excalibur might be on this list.
He's not.
Spoiler alert, he's not. Spoiler alert, he's not. Number five, Christian Cage. Christian Cage has been all microphone over the last 2 years, and it's some of the best stuff that he's been doing. I would love to see him, not so much in the ECW arena, but in those venues, and especially what happened in the ECW arena when he was calling out FTR's fathers and the crowd just go, like, they still love the father gimmick with Christian Cage. So he's number five. Number four, and this might surprise you, but he's dropped a little bit just because the last few months he was on TV haven't been that great. I don't think he's been really motivated. He hasn't really had that top tier program to really do the best on the mic. And he's been gone for a few months after that. MJF is number four top promo guy. Number three, this was a guy that I was considering at number one on Monday when I made this list. And now he's number three. That's Samoa Joe. Huh. Samoa Joe is number three on the best promo. So now we have Christian out of the way, MJF, Eddie Kingston, Jon Moxley out of the way. Who do you think my top two could possibly be? If we include Bron Breakker.
Are you really going to put Bron as one just to troll people?
I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I don't know. I got ideas. I'm definitely
one,
not
think,
reading my
list.
The other
one you're putting either Callis or Stokely, I think.
Number two is Bron Breakker.
Okay.
Bron Breakker is the top. Is a top two talker in AEW if we include Bron Breakker. I have him at number two, that promo, but also the crowd's come alive for the badass gimmick. The crowd has come alive for the barking gimmick. The crowd has come alive when Bron Breakker comes out there and has something meaningful to do. And he's starting to look a little bit, not so much like Batista in Evolution, but he's starting to look like he's not on the same level as Bronson Reed. He's like the leader of the group without ever focusing on him as the leader of the group. But they're about to. But he is the leader of the group, of all four of them. The people are excited to hear from Bron Breakker. So he is number two. And then one has been consistent since the very start of AEW. Gave AEW pay-per-views and the shows a real air of significance. And just from literally start to finish on the shows, this is a voice that I want to be able to hear. And I've liked him when he's been in WWE. I've liked him when he's been in other companies as well. Number one best promo talker in AEW is Justin Roberts.
I had Joe, Mark, Braun, and then I went with Kingston when he's focused and not talking about his mental issues, and then Fletcher. I actually took Moxley out. I took Moxley out of my top five because he rambles so much.
He rambles, and he doesn't have, like, I kind of want this Death Riders thing to get going here with the kicking out of Jon Moxley. I know we're in the beginning stages of it, or maybe the mid stages at this point.
But I kind of want good. Fletcher's too good not Fletcher's, to put on the top five.
And Fletcher's just, really good, but the problem with having so many members, and now Okada and Takeshita, those two going at it, he's just kind of been lowered in the importance, and there's not enough time for him on TV. And if you give him 20 minutes on Collision, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to watch it, because Collision is the show that does not matter. Right. So it's got to be on Dynamite. You got to be focusing on this guy, and we'll see what happens next with the TNT title. So that is my top five promos in AEW. We'll see if those change over the course of the next few months. Let's talk about this WWE Saturday Night's main event coming up. In just a couple of weeks now, at this point, we have our main event, or possibly the opener, if you're paying attention to John Cena television interviews in promoting this event. John Cena versus the winner of Gunther and LA Knight. We will know by the end of tonight being Friday, as you are listening to this. We'll know that by the end of tonight who John Cena's opponent is going to be. If it's going to be just Gunther, just LA Knight, or somehow both of them, because we're still in that era where we have to wonder.
Oh, God, yeah.
We still have to wonder. But John Cena is going out on top or on his back. We don't know yet. Saturday night's main event. Who is going to win this tournament, and why is it Gunther?
It's Gunther so that Cena could put him on his shoulders and try and do a super move one last time.
It's also the guy that he has the chance to have the best match with, that he can go out with like a banger, if you will. So I'm not hating on it. I hope it is Gunther. I hope they have not deviated to LA Knight.
Okay, but do you hope that Cena wins or loses?
I don't care. But I think Gunther is going to win, and I have a theory on why that might be.
Okay, because I thought after Cena lost the Intercontinental title back at Survivor Series, I thought the need for him to lose this match wasn't necessary. I think
The need for him to win it isn't necessary either. Like, what is John Cena winning and beating Gunther going to do for the next year of WWE? And who's going to care? Who's going to care that John Cena lost his final match? Like, who?
Yeah, but I could, boy, it just feels like a brand new day where it's just like, yeah, we want the happy moment and the happy ending coming out. I agree he should lose. Don't get me wrong, but I think they're going to have him win.
I think the happy moment is what comes after the match, the result of the match with John Cena in the ring. It sounds like John Cena was on, I think it was Kimmel or it was somebody, maybe it was Stephen Colbert. He was on the talk show circuit promoting the show. And he's kind of making it seem like he'll be the opener of this show. And then they get into, what comes next with the NXT, whether it's NXT versus WWE talents, whether it's NXT versus NXT talents, whatever. Maybe it's mystery card, right? Like, maybe this is going to be WWE mystery vortex where you just don't know all the people who are going to be on the show yet.
Here's the other interesting thing about this tournament is it took a tonal shift. In that, I thought, when Penta injured himself and they took him out and it was Solo, but the plan was always for Solo to win that and for it to be Solo versus Gunther, which seems to indicate a slight babyface. This is where we're turning him, because the crowd can turn him very easily, because Gunther's thing is he's a jerk, but he's a jerk with a certain moral compass about him in terms of respecting who fights and who doesn't and stuff. So it feels to me like they're almost like, and even LA Knight, they've been kind of giving him a bit more of a heel edge here in the past few weeks. It feels like this isn't going to be a heel Gunther versus John Cena. It feels like almost a babyface versus babyface match.
I was thinking when he came back, he had the change in music, that maybe it wasn't going to be an outright babyface turn. Right. Where he was going to come back. He was going to win a lot of these matches. He was going to go in there with John Cena. And he was just going to play it straight up until there, where it's like, let the crowd decide if he's a good guy or a bad guy. But he's still doing a lot of the heel mannerisms where he's like, you know, wiping dirt on the opponents afterwards and doing some of those, you know, quirky heel mannerisms. So it's like, okay, well, maybe they're not doing that. And Gunther's just going to be the bad guy, but he's not talking a whole lot. And you know, they very well could shift his direction just based on how the crowd reacts to Saturday night's main event. Or maybe they're just giving him this win and then we'll worry about where Gunther is going afterwards, because right now he's not in the world title picture. He's not in the Intercontinental title picture, which I thought when John Cena won the IC belt that it might be a shift to get it on to Gunther so he could be like the fighting champion on TV, because that's not going to be CM Punk every week. If CM Punk has one Raw match a month, I'd be shocked. I think it's going to be like more like one every 2 or 3 months. But obviously that's not where they're going. So I don't know what Gunther has after here to do, because if it's going to be Dominic Mysterio, he has to be the babyface. So maybe that is where they're going.
I also realize why they're going to do this. First is to avoid what happened with Goldberg on his retirement, and he didn't have time for a speech, and they're going to do a Cena speech here.
Oh, they're going to do it. That's what I'm saying. That's why the moment is going to be what happens after the match, the Cena speech, whether it's talent come to the ringside area to like show their respect for him or whatever the case may be. The result of the match itself is not as important.
Does Dwayne show up?
For a Saturday night's main event show on Peacock? No.
I thought to complete the angle or whatever. Okay.
There's no more angle to complete. It was completed already. John Cena turning babyface completed that. They're not going to get a completion of the Rock John Cena storyline on his last night when he has nothing else to do.
No, it's right. You're right. Yeah.
As always. But yeah, so that is your Saturday Night's Main Event. We'll see what happens with the NXT superstars. But on this Gunther fact, so if it is Gunther indeed, and we have Gunther versus John Cena, and Gunther does win, like you brought up earlier, this will be the second hero now that he has put down on Saturday Night's Main Event to end their career. First Goldberg, now John Cena. I think we could have some legs with Gunther being this new legend killer, being the guy who retires people. And we're talking about possibility of Chris Jericho coming back for a retirement storyline in WWE.
Randall K.
There's still a guy on SmackDown who comes out very often without pants named Randall Kennedy Keith Orton, who is the legend killer. And you got this new guy, Gunther, in town. I think Gunther's going to be the guy that puts out Jericho and eventually Randy Orton.
Huh. I like that. I'll take
this,
it.
This is the setup, like Undertaker streak level setup, where 5 years down the line, we're talking about Gunther cutting a promo about how he's ended the careers of these legends.
He could take out Kevin Owens.
I'm the legend killer. Yeah. You could take out Kevin Owens. That would be a long time down the road, I think. Like, I'm thinking strictly guys who are about to bring Billy Gunn back for a night so Gunther could kill him. Have Booker T come out to wrestle one. I actually think there's a chance.
R-Truth? He could take out R-Truth.
Yeah. And not a lot of these guys are going to be done anytime soon, but You have something here with the fact that he could be the guy who puts down Goldberg and John Cena.
Yeah.
Why not run with it? Why not make this the new Undertaker
AJ
streak?
AJ Styles is looking to retire soon.
This is what I'm talking about, man.
Okay.
This is the guy who ends careers legitimately. And then you have Randy Orton versus Gunther in a serious match where
You've
maybe Randy.
Into this. I really like this. I like this a lot.
Then if I was included, maybe I'd be a top five promo in AEW. Talked you into buying a ticket, didn't I? The last thing I want to get here on the WWE Raw side, it was the main event segment of Raw. We talk about the women's roster in WWE on the main roster side. A lot of the main eventers on the main roster are currently intertwined in this WWE Women's Tag Team Championship division. Is the tag team title division in WWE the new top dog when it comes to the women's division? Because you have Alexa Bliss and Charlotte, you have Roxanne, you have Liv Morgan somewhat in this right now, although based on Raw, she's going to deviate quickly back to the singles picture. But you have Nia Jax, you have the Kabuki Warriors, you have Rhea Ripley and Io Sky all into this women's tag division right now. What do you make of the tag division being like the top women's draw in WWE at the moment?
this was really a smart pivot by WWE that they did not want to see Rhea and Io fighting each other.
Right. They don't. And, not right now.
And it is. It has taken off in ways I haven't seen. Because, like, the Kabuki Warriors are phenomenal.
Yes.
Heels for this division and everybody chasing them. And it's even brought up, like, I hated the Bayley split personality story with Lyra, but it feels like Lyra has caught on to what Bayley is and is now controlling that for her own gain, which makes it interesting.
I didn't even mention those two. But you good.
The Judgment Night team is really, really good. I really like Roxanne and Raquel's interplay more than I liked Liv and Raquel.
Yeah, no, they're great, and at least they're going to hold off. Maybe they won't do it at all, but they are going to hold off on any potential drama between Liv and Roxanne. They passed that torch with Liv handing Roxanne the tag belt to hold up at the end of Raw. I didn't even mention those two, Bayley and Lyra, but you're right. I mean, they are stacking a lot of talent right now in this WWE Women's Tag Division. Now, part of it is because they got some work to do to get over Jade Cargill as the Women's Champion on SmackDown. Stephanie Vaquer is over, but she's kind of... You know, she's had the Nikki Bella segment. She's had some weirdness because Naomi had to leave WWE for her pregnancy. She's had kind of a weird summer, and they got to get her back on track. So you don't want to get her back on track with, like, main eventers. I even think they hold off Liv possibly all the way to the Royal Rumble or even after. So get Stephanie Vaquer back on track. Becky Lynch is kind of doing her whole thing right now with the Intercontinental Championship with Maxine and Natty possibly come. There's a cool note for future Raws too, that we're going to see a darker side of Natalya, the Natty Neidhart character she's been doing on Bloodsport and whatnot. The women's tag division right now is where they're putting all the big stars. I kind of worry as we head into WrestleMania what that could mean. Like, will they still all be in this division and we're just going to get a four-way with all these teams down the pike? But this is where the women's division is at right now, at least on top of the mountain. It is the tag team division.
Even Charlotte and Alexa is working better than I thought it would.
It's working great.
Like, their angle stunk for a good 3 weeks there where, are we friends, are we not? And now they're kind of clicking. And
they're best friends.
Okay.
Yeah. They're best friends. Charlotte's calling Alexa her best friend. They really do have good rapport back and forth when they're cutting the mic on and cutting their promos. It's been interesting. And it is a good way. You talk about Rhea and Io Sky. It's a way to keep them separated, but also together, that they're not going to be fighting each other. You save that for when there's a singles title down the line. Alexa Bliss, Charlotte, save it for a singles title. You have a big smile on your face. What did you just think of that you really want to say?
All I'm thinking is they do this four-way and all four teams turn on each other. And then those are the Mania matches.
Well, I mean, this is Triple H's WrestleMania, so there's not going to be four women singles matches over 2 nights. Okay. Yeah, that's not going to happen. If there are more than two women singles matches, because I do think that you're going to have some high level tag team matches on the show. You might even have one each night in the women's division, but I do not see three. I see both women's titles. Maybe with the Intercontinental title, if they get Maxine up to something big, that I could see something there. Maybe you do Becky and AJ at WrestleMania as a singles match. You know what? I take that back. Maybe you might see four women singles matches, but it will not be all the tag teams breaking up. I can tell you that.
No,
right
it
now.
Won't. It's just one of those funny things where it's like, these are all the singles matches they were planning at one time, and now they're all tagging together.
Maybe in Vince's WWE, just break up all the tag teams. Why am I paying two?
Who's the star
one?
Here?
Who is the star?
Jannetty.
Which is really cool why this WWE Women's Tag Team Division is on top right now, because with Rhea and Io, they're both the star. With Bliss and Charlotte, they're both the star. With Roxanne and Raquel, maybe less so on the Raquel side, but they're kind of Shawn Michaels and Big Daddy Cool at this point. Like, they have their back and forth play, and Raquel gets as much time talking in the Judgment Day segments.
She gets her stuff in, and it's good.
So there's a lot of big names in this division right now. A lot of big things happening on Raw. I would say Raw versus AEW Dynamite. You had some good wrestling on Dynamite, but Raw was the better show overall because you pushed a lot of storylines forward. And we didn't even talk about the mystery attacker, Jeff, from Survivor Series. Who's the mystery attacker, and why, oh why, is it Austin Theory?
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.